Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
Happy.
It says Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. These are nations that for 1,000 years have had Messiah as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A time of peace, no war. A time when there was no famine, there was no hunger. A time of peace, love, and harmony like the world has never known. With Messiah on the throne, Satan's released for a little while. And says, we'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. A second battle called Gog and Magog, or Gog and Magog, depending on your pronunciation, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Meaning he's going to raise an army out of the living human beings on this earth that have served Messiah for 1,000 years that want to throw him off the throne and kill him and put Satan in his place. What does that tell you about the nature of man? We are fallen people. Let's go back to Isaiah 65, verse 20. Everyone who went into the millennial kingdom alive was saved. At the end of the millennial kingdom, however, Satan couldn't raise such a huge army out of saved people. How did there get to be so many unsaved people in the world with Messiah on the throne? Look at Isaiah 65. Verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. There are children born in the millennial kingdom. Are they born saved?
No,
God has no grandchildren. They were born in the kingdom with Messiah on the throne, in a kingdom of peace, love, and harmony, and yet they choose to reject God. They refuse to be saved by faith. Verse 21, they shall build houses and inhabit them. This is in the kingdom. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. Olive trees, some of those in the Garden of Gethsemane, over 2,000 years old. So the lives of mankind will be like they were before the flood. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. There will be children born in the kingdom. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. But Satan's released, and many of these children we find were not saved, and they reject God. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 20 and see what happens. Verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. They come against Jerusalem just like they did at the Battle of Armageddon or the Battle of Gog and Magog, either one. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There is no battle. There is no army going out of Jerusalem with swords and arrows to defeat them. Fire simply comes down from heaven and consumes them. One of the shortest battles in history. Verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. So no longer do the false Messiah and false prophet have the lake of fire all to themselves. Now they're joined by Satan himself. Think he'll make a good neighbor? I don't think so. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I saw YouTube videos this week that I didn't bother to watch. They were titled, God Would Not Send Anyone to Hell. There are many people who believe that God is a loving God. He's going to save everybody. And it doesn't matter how you live. We're all going to play in the streets of Jerusalem, in the New Jerusalem, rolling our colored Easter eggs and hanging the beautiful ornaments on our trees. It just doesn't happen to be true. It says, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. What happens to forever when you add and ever to it? It lets you know it's without end ever. Through the new heavens and the new earth into eternity future, they will be tormented day and night. But fortunately, it's only day and night. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Is that because he's ugly? No, it's because they're terrified. And there was found no place for them. Who sits on that throne? Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. Too many people misunderstand the book of Exodus and believe that it reads, I am that I am. When actually it reads, I will be whom I will be. So they teach that God is a God of love, and that's true. But they take that to mean that God could never punish anyone. But what it means, I will be whom I will be, is to my loving children, God's a loving father. To those who hate and despise him, he's a righteous judge. And a righteous judge judges fairly, equitably. John chapter 5. Who is the judge? Start in verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man, meaning the descendant of Adam. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, that is, will be resurrected. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Which means what? To the lake of fire. So who sits on this throne at the great white throne judgment? Messiah Yeshua does. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. We could do just verse 1, but hey, we're here. Verse 1 follows 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy that every scripture that God breathed out of his mouth is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Every one of them. So in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, I charge you therefore. What does therefore mean? Because this is true, because every word that came out of the mouth of God is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. What word? What word? Is the word love? Preach love. God loves everyone. He would never punish anyone. Perish the thought. That's not what the word says. Preach the word of God, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. All long suffering. That means put down the two before. Be patient. Exhort, teach over and over again. Because eventually there are people who are going to go, I got it. Back to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, meaning young and old. It's a Hebrew idiom. Standing before God. I think if they were standing before Messiah, Yeshua, they are. Standing before God, and books were opened. Let me ask this. Are the saints being judged here? No, but it says, I saw the dead small and great. The saints are not dead at this point. They're all alive. And they have life eternal, never more to die. So these dead are those who are not believers, who refuse to be saved by faith. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. It doesn't tell us which books. It assumes we know. We have the book of the Torah, which says what we should have done. We have the book of deeds, our works, what we did. Are they ever going to match up? No, never. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's New Testament. Okay. In Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. It means the same thing. We've all sinned. I would ask how many of you out there are sinners, but I'm afraid somebody wouldn't put up their hand. And that would be bad. We've all sinned. We all need Messiah. So there's a third book. So another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the Lamb's Book of Life, the book that records the names of everyone who's been saved by faith from the Garden of Eden forward. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. How's that going to go for people? Not well. Let's go back to Luke 12. I believe what Revelation 21:12 is telling us when it says they were judged according to their works is that there are going to be degrees of punishment. Not everyone's going to receive the same punishment. All will be cast into the lake of fire, but I think there are parts of the lake of fire that will be hotter than others. I can't prove it. I don't want to go there and find out. I just believe it's true, and let's look at Luke 12. Verse 47 and 48. And that servant who knew his master's will, that is, knew what he was supposed to be doing, and did not prepare himself, meaning didn't do what the master commanded, or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone who much is given, for him much will be required to him. Much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. To me, verses 47 and 48 says there will be degrees of punishment. I don't know exactly what that means and how it applies to like a fire, but I think there are some parts that will be worse than others. All will be horrible because you're separated from God and from our Messiah Yeshua for eternity. So none of it can be good. Back to Revelation 20. If you don't agree that there's different degrees of punishment, that's okay. I didn't say it's absolutely true, just that's what I interpret from those verses. You may read them differently. But back to Revelation 20, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death in Hades, death refers to the grave, and Hades the resting place of the souls of the dead, delivered up the dead who were in them. So it's a physical bodily resurrection of body and soul, and they were judged, each one according to his works. All have fallen short of the glory of God.
You said that death referred to grave, and Hades referred to what?
The resting place of the soul, Sheol.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Richard. Verse 13. Are we talking about the physical sea as in the people that were in the water, or are we talking about the Gentile nations?
One or the other. I think it's referring to the actual literal sea, because it's not sea versus land. There are many people who died at sea. They didn't get buried, right? Their bodies were unrecoverable. But it tells us that God knows where they are and will bring them back. They'll be judged according to his works. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll see it's consistent with what the rest of the Bible says. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father, that's the second coming, with his angels, and then he'll reward each according to his works. Same thing we read in Revelation chapter 20, the judgment is according to their works. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, the verse number is verse 15. Second Corinthians chapter 11 is talking about the false teachers who teach false doctrines and lead people astray. I see what people are talking about the lights flashing. It's got to be one of these lights up here that probably needs to be replaced. I can see it in the picture. Okay, never mind that. 2 Corinthians 11, 15. Yeah, I'm like a little kid. Oh, shiny object. Okay. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, if Satan's ministers, his false teachers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. That is, they pretend to be saved. They pretend to be believers, leading people to God when they know they're not. It says, whose end will be according to their works. The third reference we've seen now in three verses, that people will be judged according to their work. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We were there a few minutes ago about the Lord will judge at his appearing, preach the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, the Apostle Paul refers to a particular person who has done him harm. He doesn't curse him. He says, the Lord will do that. Says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. So all he says is, come judgment day, Lord, please don't forget what he did. Revelation 2, verse 5. Revelation 2, verse 5. Revelation 2, verse 5 is written to the church at Ephesus that John himself had pastored and that Timothy later pastored. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. What does repent mean? Stop sinning and turn back to God. And do the first works. Or else, I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. He's talking to believers. He's saying, you have left your first love. You need to return to your first love, to the first works, and do them, or else. The or else is, come judgment day, you're judged according to your works. Revelation 2, verse 23. Referring to the church at Thyatira, says, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. We could go to other places, but that's enough. If that's what? Six places that tell us that we will be judged according to our works. Now, whether we're at the Bema Seat judgment for rewards or the Great White Throne judgment is based upon our faith. Which one? But once we're there, what gets judged are our works. If you're saved, you're at the Bema Seat judgment for rewards. If you're not, you're at the Great White Throne judgment. You get to choose which. But you choose by your actions, which demonstrate, do you have faith or don't you have faith?
Clarity's purpose for me, those who were saved during the tribulation period.
Those who were saved during the tribulation period?
Into the millennial kingdom alive.
They went into the millennial kingdom alive.
They still carried with them the sin nature, is that correct?
They still carried with them the sin nature. That doesn't get destroyed until chapter 21.
Right. The sons and daughters of them had the sin nature. They
right.
chose Messiah or they did not.
Right. The children that were born during the tribulation period inherited the sin nature we've all inherited and had a choice. Will they accept Messiah by faith or won't they?
They were good candidates for the army that would go against Messiah at the end of the millennial kingdom.
Right. The way I like to say it is God has no grandchildren. So each of the children born must make a decision for themselves. At the beginning, they all have godly parents. Messiah is on the throne. Peace, love, and harmony reigns. And they still choose to reject Messiah, to reject God. That's hard for me to believe, but it's true. But since we digress, let's look at a couple more places. Revelation 22. But just the one more. Probably. Verses 12 to 15. Because these words are read. And I trust words that are read. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, or properly the Aleph and the Tav. The beginning and the end, the first and the last, which in Isaiah 41:4 was written of God. So Messiah is assuring us he is God. He is the Lord. The Lord is God. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. So when it says in verse 12 to give to everyone according to his work, verses 14 and 15, clarify that to make sure we understand. It means, did they follow the commandments of God or did they reject them? Back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades, that's the waiting place of the dead, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, if somebody dies, where would the body and soul go? That's the point. From this point forward, there will be no more death. Death itself is about to be destroyed. So there's no need for a place for the bodies of the dead or the souls of the dead, because there'll be no more dead from this point forward and forevermore. When it says this is the second death, let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. God made a promise to his children who are faithful, who truly believe. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. The seven letters were written to seven specific churches, but they're for all believers of all time to read. And it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. How many of you have ears? Let me just look. Yep, all of you. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. The second death is not for believers. It's for unbelievers. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Again, it assures us that the lake of fire is not for believers. Not now, not ever. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. God continues to kick the podium. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you've got a list of good things and bad things, the things in verse 8 go on the bad list. Don't do those. Back to Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those written in the book of life are those that are saved. We've just read the lake of fire is not for the saved, it's for the unsaved. No one that is saved will stand the great white throne judgment. Let's talk about the book of life. Ooh, we have 5 seconds. Let's just say you want to be in the Lamb's book of life, okay? Enough said. So we'll just pick up next week, Lord willing, with Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.